Subset B. This is something new we're starting here with the next four items on the agenda. It's a process this council's changed in the ordinance rewriting process, or when we take a look at new ordinances or ordinances from the past that we want to maybe update or change. We believe that bringing this forward at this point in time for discussion for both staff and for the public, it helps with council as we work through the verbiage and figure out what we're exactly wanting to do. Included in the packet, there are some discussion points that have been brought up where, for example, it's against... We're in contradiction with state law and our ordinance or other things like that, which Mr. Ainsley pointed out in the reports. But I do want to reiterate that this is kind of a situation where your input is wanted, and we appreciate you giving us your input. We want to be concise and try not to repeat and have three-hour discussion on each item here. But we do want your input, and we do want to work through this as a community when we look at these ordinances. So, Daniel, I'll turn it over to you at this point.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Looking through Title III, which is our ordinance on alcohol, there are three different areas that staff believe the council needs to have some discussion on to provide some direction that there is some further amendments to the title that we believe are warranted. The first is in regards to some current language that is in the ordinance that limits the number of on-sale malt beverage licenses. It currently limits the number of 21 on-sale licenses. The issue with that is that recently there was a state statute change which stated that anyone that had an off-sale license, which it would be typical of convenience stores or that sorts of thing, instead of just having an off-premise or off-sale license, they actually would have an on-off. Again, that was a statutory change that is outside the city's control. So with that, we actually have a total number of 42 licenses. So with that being the case, we believe that there needs to be a change to the ordinance to either lift that cap from 21 to 42, or we are going to have to tell about half the people that have licenses, we're going to have a lottery system or something to determine that. But in any case, that number needs to change, or there needs to be council discussion about how to limit that number back down to the 21. The state statute does not give a cap to the number of malt beverage licenses that there are, and so that truly is a policy direction of the council. In addition to that, the ordinance does not include any limit to the number of restaurant licenses or spa licenses. Those are two additional malt beverage categories that are licenses that we have granted. And we currently have eight of the 42 are restaurant licenses, restaurant or spa licenses. So, again, just want to make sure everyone is aware of that. And, again, looking just for some discussion here, when we bring up the ordinance amendment of lifting that total number or not including a cap, whatever the council would like to proceed with. The second item is one that probably might be a little more controversial, and that's in regards to the special events. That is something that state statute authorizes local municipalities or local counties to grant. In doing so, it needs to be for an event. That event is determined by the local governing body. So there is not a statewide definition. Our attorney has spent a significant amount of time discussing this with the Department of Revenue, and there is no requirement in state statute, nor does the state require any sort of requirement or definition that would meet a special event. A lot of the council's time throughout the 12-month calendar period is issuing special events. Quite often it's for wedding receptions or maybe chamber events, different things like that. In our ordinance, it specifically says that a civic organization or a charitable organization can directly apply for a special event. That usually does not occur, however they can, or a current holder of either a malt beverage license or a liquor license can also apply for a special event, and in doing so, they can do it whenever there is a special event. Again, the definition of a special event is not contained. There's no definition of that. Truly, if the city council votes for issuing a special event license, that action declares that there is a special event. That does occur quite often during the rally period, that there's special events that licenses that are granted for different venues throughout the downtown area, sometimes including at the racetrack, just different areas kind of throughout town. There was a change in, and I did not include the year, but there was a change, I believe, in 2014, 2015, kind of in that time frame, to the city ordinance, not to state statute, but there was a change to the city ordinance saying that when a special event was going to be issued, that there had to be some sort of benefit to a charitable entity or organization. That was truly enforced 1 year. It was an odd year in that when requests were made, some entities would say a portion of the net profit would go to charity X. Others would say $500 would go to charity Y. And it really was not an equitable standard. Some charities made a little bit of money. Others did not. Truly, staff's recommendation with that is that that portion of our ordinance be stricken and taken out. Or if it is not, then at least there would be some sort of basic standard that can be easily judged instead of a discretionary call that is made at each council meeting. Those sorts of things can get you into trouble when an individual applicant actually states that they feel that they're not getting equal representation from the city. The third item that we do believe that there should be some discussion on is there is some language in our ordinance that talks about beer gardens, decks, and patios. That really is leftover language from previous decades when we, as a city, did require that malt beverages would only be served within structures or on patios. Patios had to have certain construction and they couldn't exceed the square footage of ground floor levels. Since that language has been removed. In fact, we have some people that have licenses on properties where there are no structures. So given that it is not enforceable and it is not the intent and it is not how the city has licensed venues for a decade or longer, we truly believe that those portions regarding to decks, patios, and beer gardens really should be stricken from the ordinance. But with that being said, those are the three areas that we would like some kind of direction from the council, but we understand that there might be some other areas as well.
Faye, do you have anything to add to that, or Daniel?
I think with what we just visited about a little while ago, I think we want to look at the consumption permits and be more telling where they can be at, the consumption permits. I think we need to be more knowing where we can have them at.
Lenient or restrictive?
Just more idea of what we can do. It's kind of wide. It's kind of gray. It's not really saying where we can exactly have them at.
Or the consumption permit. Well, I think it's pertinent at this point in time to open it up to public discussion on Title III. Anybody that has anything to add, either on the points that were discussed by staff to this point or in addition to within the title already? Come on up.
Why do we need a cap?
The current cap that is in existence is the 21 that's written in the city ordinance.
Do we need it?
That would be a question for previous councils, I guess, is that answer. Yep, go ahead, Faye. Please interject.
I would guess, just from what I experience, is that if we didn't have a cap on that, we would have everybody during the rally would love to have a malt beverage license. And you could have a malt beverage license if we would take the cap off. So during the we could have another 50. I have a lot of requests. So, but is that good or bad? Does that make more sales tax? I don't know. But that's my guess why they capped it.
Like it would limit brought in because the more sell, whether on sale or off sale. I don't think there should be a cap, especially if you already have people who have decided to limit it to 21. You're going to put 21 in regard to the cap. I was curious why it was there.
Yep.
And I don't
know. Yep. But the discussion could also occur that there could be a cap put on that either equals the 42 that are in existence or slightly exceeds it. So,
right. I was mainly thinking is I don't think it would be wise to say, okay, well.
Yeah. And we appreciate your input.
Before you leave, ma'am, understanding that if we would lift the cap or modify the cap from 21 to 42, that we're devaluing the licenses that people have paid for. It used to be if you wanted a malt beverage on sale, you had to buy it from somebody that had one. So these people automatically, their license will deflate to no value. Now, understanding what you said, how would you feel about the hard liquor? Should we... I mean, if we wanted to make money in the city of Sturgis, we should, even though it's still capped, maybe we should go to the legislature and ask that the cap be lifted on hard liquor, because we'd sure make a hell of a lot more money in Sturgis with about 20 more liquor licenses.
And that didn't come up, so I didn't ask that question. But how many liquor licenses are there?
Nine.
I know there's only one off sale, but how many?
Nine. There's nine liquor licenses. State statute authorizes one per 1,000 residents. We do have two additional ones simply because they were people who already owned a liquor license and then they were annexed into the city, and so they're essentially kind of gathered into the city. So the city would not gain another one until our population reaches 10,000.
Thank you, because I was curious where that.
That's the legislature, and that has been a hot topic for years. There's a lot of communities that seek expansion of that, and that's been thoroughly beaten down every session because the people that spend hundreds of thousands for those liquor licenses don't like the idea of other people getting them.
Okay, so they don't want competition.
Yeah.
My concern was more, okay, you've got 21 people on this side, 21 people together than
right now legally.
People have to give something up, so that was I was just curious.
Right now legally they're all the same, and so the question is, do we have a limit? If we do,
what is it?
What do you want that to be? We're not required to have a limit. You can not have a limit, or you can and set it at 42 or 21 or whatever number.
Since we're just discussing on the malt beverage at this point, if new restaurants come to town, do they automatically get a malt beverage?
No. Currently in the ordinance, to actually receive or apply for a malt beverage license, you have to be a bona fide restaurant. You have to have 50 seats and a true kitchen and a full-time chef or someone actually doing that. So you can't just show up on a piece of asphalt and say, we're going to start selling beer. You
can apply for
a certain percentage of your income.
That's actually not in the ordinance. Malt beverage is not. Yeah. But you would actually have to be a restaurant like Jambones or Domino's or something like that, which Domino's does have a license. They only use it during the rally, but. That is right. I think it's only during the rally. I'm pretty sure on that one.
Charlie's?
Domino's.
I think Charlie's the same way.
Well, they're an actual, that's an old malt beverage license.
How about other public input on Title III? Thanks, Kim. Again, this is, I guess, the beginning of this discussion.
Go ahead.
The reason this action is being taken is simply because we'd like the public's input, Because as counselors, we're going to sit down in a committee and we're going to rewrite these ordinances. And if we don't do it correctly, there will be 20 people, actually in this case 21 people, sitting in this room hammering us why convenience stores get the same license opportunity that they have for on and off sale packaged malt beverage. So with this, you know, the public gets a chance to give us input on what you'd like to see. And if you don't give us any input, then four counselors sitting here are going to get the opportunity for no public input until we get ready to do the first reading on this ordinance. That's the reason it's important to us.
I guess I would just like to add that I think, and it doesn't have to be right now, it doesn't have to be tonight, but I think sometime within the next week or so as we're considering this, I think we certainly should have some input from our chief of police on this whole situation and see what his thoughts happen to be. And if we have any bar owners that are around and they want to go and say what their thought process happens to be, that would be great. We'd like to have that input from those individuals. Doesn't have to be right now, but sometime before we get to first reading, I think that would be advantageous to us.
Any other input?
Rod Bradley, I think it'd help. I mean, we're kind of at a standoff here. It'd help if you guys would give us input of what you'd like to see in it, too, because somehow it got on the agenda. So, I mean, is there, is it just let's shore up what's happening with what the state statute says and what the ordinance says and get everything in sync, and we're going to end up at the same spot, or is there some initiative for some adjustments and change? You know, that's probably a good place to start. Is what?
Is how many, you know, to shore up this with the statute. What?
Yeah.
This is our first time doing this tonight.
Right. So, you know, I guess the two things that you know, just in general, my thoughts are on how to think about it is, you know, one, what's best for the rally? As you know, I think if you look at it's such a big piece of Sturgis's pie now in the budget, you know, I mean, if we start chipping away at what's good for the rally, and there's always different opinions of what's good for the rally, but, you know, a consensus is, you know, what's good for the event. And a good place to start was the Rally and Events Department, who travels to a bunch of other rallies, who said, you know, so they got a good idea what builds energy into the other rallies. And, you know, we want to be, you know, taking all the good ideas we can out of other places. So, you know, that's one thing. The second thing is how to get there. You know, and that's, you know, there's probably quite a few strong opinions that what we're doing now is one way to build more energy into the rally. And that's probably why, you know, this side of the bench isn't bringing this initiative to the table. And I understand if you have to make adjustments to the ordinance to make everything fit and this and that, you know, if there's wordings right, on and on. But, you know, I'm not sure, you know, of changes that are needed. So
the staff's recommendation to it on these three areas, at least, number one is the limit on the number of beer licenses to increase that to at least 42. And that's if there's going to be a cap. And then up to the council whether or not it should be higher or just eliminate that. But that's the first one that I think the council is looking for input, whether or not that should be. The second one is on the special events. The staff's recommendation is to eliminate the portion in the ordinance that requires a charitable contribution.
Right.
And if not to eliminate it, then at least to specifically define what that is. But definitely the recommendation is to eliminate that because, as you expressed, the majority of these special event licenses occur during the rally period. And that, I think, based off of what we've heard from existing license holders, I have not heard any complaints from any of the existing license holders. And in fact, it's the existing license holders that are seeking to expand this, which overall seems to have enhanced the rally.
Right.
And then the third is just on the beer gardens and patios and decks. That seems to be outdated language that doesn't even work for some of the existing license holders. And so our recommendation is to delete that.
I guess I'd comment on all of that. Number one, that the first item on how many malt beverage licenses we should have, I think it should be more than 42. I don't know as that we should make it unlimited, but I think that we should at least plan for some growth in that area, and maybe 45 or up to 50 if you're going to put a cap on it. That's my opinion. Special events. We've been doing special events and not been, we haven't been by abiding by our own ordinance. I remember I was on the ordinance committee when we talked a long time on that. And I think Rod, you were one of the first ones to have to kind of deal with that with when you had that special during the rally, that special event over by,
Harley.
Yeah. And, you know, that was kind of difficult for you to deal with. It was difficult for everyone to see how, you know, I think we agreed to a percentage of the sales to go to some organization and there wasn't anything there. And I think we should just eliminate that portion that says it has to go to a charitable organization. We should still keep the discussion or the language in there, because if there is a charitable organization that wants to have a special event, they should be able to have a special event. But the way we've been doing it, where we've been allowing existing licensees to hold special events, that's all it says in the statute. Just leave it at that. And as far as beer gardens, that was a long discussion when we had the ordinance committee about how to define a beer garden, and we had certain heights to certain things and stuff like that. I think that should all be just stricken. And as far as what Faye said on consumption permits, a consumption permit, if we want to define where they can go, I don't know as we need to do that, because it could be a case-by-case deal. You know, it could be a wedding reception. It could be like the movie nights down at the community center. Those are all something that you allow someone to bring their own liquor and consume the permit or consume the liquor. So,
well, an additional point to what Ron is talking about, you know, as far as special events assisting nonprofits, you know, we now have the money that goes to nonprofits, right? Chosen by rally charities. So that aspect is already, you know, that's taken care of.
And with the consumption permit, it's kind of basically says just the auditorium is how I read it. Now, other people read it a little different than that, but that's how I read it.
Yeah, exactly that. When I read through that, it just said we could just do that at the auditorium, which is the old armory, right? Yeah. And I think, we had it at the theater not too long ago. I think it should be just opened up. If someone wants to rent the mead room and bring their own beer in there and have some, just as long as they're not causing a problem, you know, or anywhere else.
But they have to come through council and get the SEL so the chief understands.
Right. Absolutely.
I think the chief needs to have a lot of input to this, and I think planning and zoning needs input.
I agree. From the
aspect, open the door. That's what we're going to have.
Oh.
I mean, there's a potential there for...
The consumption permits have to come through council anyway already, and so I think, and so do the SELs. And as long as it comes through council and there's some input.
But during the rally, you know, license holders really... self-discipline themselves. They can't afford Mr. Bradley.
You can call me Rod.
Mr. Carter. I saw four Rick Smiths here. We got four big licensees They're not going to put their license in jeopardy. So what I'm saying is I'm probably one of the guys that caused the most trouble on this. It's time to fix it, and it's just the verbiage and the language.
And we have an SEL every Wednesday night when we have music on Main, you know, throughout the whole year. You know, and those have worked for us as long as they came to the council and we approved them all.
So it sounds like we're all singing the same song here.
I agree.
The only thing I would add to Ron's deal is, you know, really the limit comes into effect for the rally. That's where, and you can't, I mean, you wouldn't be able to hand out enough of those. And so, I mean, the new restaurants coming into town and stuff, I mean, I think everybody thinks they should have one. Or I guess I shouldn't say it that broad, but, you know, that it's good for the restaurants to have them. But, you know, just, you know, I'm not sure. I think there's an argument that at a point every corner doesn't have to have a beer license during the rally.
Right.
So how do you do that?
My concern for the four of you guys is that every filling station can have a tent, you know, and go outside now, beer and wine.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure about how we're going to handle wine yet, but I can't imagine that we wouldn't have SELs for wine if we're going to do this. So, you know, there's a lot to think about here. I don't know how that how bad that would damage you. The big establishments. So, you know, there's lots of consideration that's got to happen here because it's not our intent to cause anybody loss of revenue.
Appreciate it, Rod.
All right. Thanks, guys.
How about other input? On Title III.
Dean Kinney, good evening. You know, I think for the most part, I'll just be really brief. We agree with what Rod has said and with what we've heard said here. I think the malt beverage license issue is a difficult one to decide exactly how many of those there should be. I did want to pass along that at one time, this is not a license. Well, in some respects it is, but at one point in our history, we did pay for a malt beverage license specifically, maybe even a couple of different times in our history before we had a hard liquor license. And then we have a property now that has a malt beverage license with it. A little harder in that case to determine whether or not it was a specific value in there or not. But there may be license holders out there is the only thing I would say on the malt beverage side that could trace themselves back to having made an investment in that, and maybe that the council should consider the investment that they may have made at that time and how to equalize that or provide them some benefit. But having said that, I think we also understand the benefit of when a new pizza place or whatever comes to town and they have a beer license and being able to offer that is important to the community too. And then the only other thing I would say on the other two issues, from our standpoint at Home Slice Loud American, we agree with the staff recommendations as outlined by Daniel. Just wanted to pass that along. So I'll take any questions, but other than that, thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Further discussion from council or from the public on Title III at this point.
Good evening, council. Brian Carter. This is a. I remember back in the day when we actually first started that there was a cap on malt beverage license, and we had that lifted when we first started the Knuckle Saloon back in 2000. I don't know what you can do to regulate malt beverage licenses if you're going to put a cap or if you're going to raise the cap. But, you know, is there any way you can do it where it's got to be a year-round business? I mean, you know, because if you do get a new convenience store, say where the motel was, and if they're going to be combined as one, I mean, they're going to want off sale, you know. The new brewery that we're building, we're going to need malt beverage license with the manufacturer's license. It is going to be for what, you know, we manufacture, but still, where does that fall into play? So I guess I'm not against it, but I don't know what kind of limitations you can put on that. So it's just not a rally thing, you know.
Usually, and we can definitely ask the city attorney to review that in more depth, but usually you're not able to limit licenses to how often a business is open. What you can do is based on location. And so I would imagine you could do it based on square footage of a building or some sort of actual building. And if you, that way a convenience store, the new brewery or something like that would be able to, if they actually have a building. However, if someone opens up just for the rally, if they have a building, they'd still be able to. Just legally, usually the state does not authorize you to limit something if you're only open for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 12 months. There's very few ways, but that could give a benefit to people that purchase the original licenses, that those could be in places where they don't have buildings, which there's a couple that currently are.
So if I understand it correctly, the off sale and the on off are going to be combined to one.
Well,
the
state they did already that are. To the us. State did that.
Yeah.
And that's no option to the city, no matter what. Mm-hmm. They're the same now. So every convenience store, Lynn's, honestly, right now, Lynn's is legally able, if they wanted to, you know, that they could serve, yeah, beer at their deli counter that they have there.
And I think actually they already have an on sale because.
Well,
because
it's
they
now,
were doing. Right. They were doing the Jack Daniels bar before.
Well, that actually is a separate property. And so that's the one that we're talking about, that there's no building on that parcel, but they have a.
Oh, there's a separate license for that property. Yeah. So I guess. I don't know what to say.
We'll keep working it. Other discussion on Title III.
I'm Rick Schmidt, and I'm older than 65. In fact, I've been here for 42 years. The thing with the new rule and regulation, it's an on-off sale beer license. So you can walk into Grocery Mart, rock around the store, and drink a six-pack of beer while you're shopping. Is that what... If they would offer, but they have the right to offer it.
Yep.
That's just the bottom line. And, gee, you take your grandkids in here and these people are drinking beer. And I just have a tough time with it. And the same thing with the gas stations, common sense. You set up something or you walk around. I mean, gee, I think the police chief might have to order, get a few more officers going on something like that. And I guess really there's no way, since the legislature did what they did, we can't stop anybody. But I think there should be a definitive limit on it. I don't know what the limit should be, but at any rate, there should be a limit. And then you can have a special situation where a big restaurant comes into town and you could do something different so they have an on-off sale wine line. And you got to remember it's wine, too. I just think we need to look at it real close, how many we're going to, you know, offer. And somebody mentioned that we already have on-sale beer licenses that are not in a building or a tent or anything else. I think those should be limited to as many as they have right now. You know, if you have somebody come in and they go belly up at Casino X, another casino's coming in, you know, then I can see an on-off beer sale. But I think you have to look at the whole picture, because that will decrease the price of any of those beer licenses. And maybe they're worth them more than what the city's getting for them. I don't know how they regulate that, but as far as the liquor license, oh, man, I'm against that. I think I bought the last one in town, and I'm still paying for it. And you know, it's a lot of cash. And I know that the other people in here, I don't know what they paid, but I got a feeling they paid more than I did. I kind of stole mine. Still over a quarter of a million. It's just tough to do it.
The highest one we had was, what, 680,000 or something?
Yeah, I don't really.
Large investment.
I paid 280. Yeah. But it's still a pile of money, and I just hate to see you open that all up. I think 9 in the town is plenty.
And this is nothing on liquor at all.
One effect,
I know,
yeah.
But it could be.
That would take statutory change, which is not yeah.
We fought about the logos all the way across Sturgis, and we kind of maybe lost there.
In regards to the wine, just because that has been brought up, currently our ordinance does not have a cap on the wine license, and there's a lot of wine licenses.
A lot. Constantly
but
more.
They are not on and off.
Right. Exactly. It's different.
They're off.
They're off sales only. Yeah.
No. They are on.
They
off.
Do qualify yeah. on off.
Absolutely. But again, and I think everyone has to understand, the establishment has to authorize you to be able to. So just because a gas station has an on-off does not mean necessarily you can. I mean, it's up to the business establishment if they want you to. So I don't want people to think you can go to Grocery Mart now and start having a drink as you're shopping for produce. Sorry to disappoint you, Councillor Kessler.
I think what I heard... that the liquor store did a lot better this year.
Yes.
And I think that's fantastic. I also heard something else. I don't go into the liquor store, but my wife does and buys things, and she got a few freebie things if she collected so many of these. And I heard that was going away. I'm not sure that's exactly – I don't know if the city has control or whatever.
The state's making us do – We're working on that with the state, too.
Yeah, so that was a new employee at Department of Revenue that deemed that those sorts of rewards programs were not authorized, and so we had to limit that, and that's going through legislature right now to specifically authorize those rewards programs, and that passed unanimously, I think, in the House, and it's on the Senate. So we've started to authorize that again.
I think that's fantastic because it will keep people in the town of Sturgis buying those beverages, I think, as opposed to heading to, I don't know if they sell liquor in Sam's Club, Walmart in those areas. But they end up paying for the same price as a liquor store.
Appreciate your input, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
A little weak, but it's there.
How about any other input on Title III? We appreciate the input on there. Obviously, there's no action at this point. The process would be that, once a semi-finished ordinance is completed, it'll have the first reading, the second reading, and then 20 days till it goes into effect. So the same statutory process is in place.